Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hey, warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. I am so glad that you have joined me. If you just climbed into your automobile and you put on your wipers because of what's going on today outside, I'm glad that you're here, and I want to be here for you. If you missed the last hour, I think you're going to want to rewind a little bit and check it out. Jane Daly wrote a book on losing her son and just grieving that and the grace that came into her life. A very, very powerful discussion we had with her, and you will find encouragement if you know someone that's gone through that. Sometimes you cannot put yourself in those moccasins unless you've been there. So it's a very, very powerful conversation we have. But today, in this hour, it's Deep Thinker Thursday. You know how much I love that. And that means John and Pam Bloom are in studio. We're going to have a great time. We're going to continue our discussion about healing that we started last week. And we also want to maybe open up the phone lines in the second part of the hour if you are in a place where you need some healing, some emotional healing, physical healing. You're in a situation. We just finished our fall share, and we got lots of notes from listeners that said, please pray for, and then there were lots of things for us to pray for. But if you have something very specific today, and you, God is calling you to just say, look, I want to offer this up to the Lord, and I want to get some prayer, you can do that this afternoon, 877-933-2484. We're here to serve the King and serve you. So let us know what we can do to help. 877-933-2484. Take a little break, and then Deep Thinker Thursday is going to start in a couple minutes.
"70 years. Now that's a long-term investment. Beginning with Billy Graham in 1949, Faith Radio was designed to spread the gospel and inspire hope-filled, faith-filled living. And from day one, your gifts of support have helped to build this ministry into what it is today. But the beautiful thing is, there are dividends all along the way in lives saved, marriages restored, and dreams changed. You can give a gift today and be part of the story at myfaithradio.com.
In our connected world, it's easy to get confused and distracted from what really matters. Stay grounded and connected to God's truth by downloading the free Faith Radio app. Use your mobile device to search for Faith Radio in iTunes or Google Play. Once you have the app, you can listen to previous programs or the live stream. Download the Faith Radio app now and keep growing in God's Word.
It is 7 minutes after the hour, and it is Deep Thinker Thursday. So we're going to enjoy some deep thinking with John and Pam Bloom. John serves as the author, board chair, and co-founder of Desiring God. If you've ever been there to that website, you know how awesome it is. He's an author of 3 books, Not by Sight, Things Not Seen, and Don't Follow Your Heart. He lives here in the Twin Cities with 5 kids. And also, our very special guest is his wife, Pam Bloom. Welcome back to Deep Thinker Thursday, both of you.
It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You feel the same way, Pam?
Yes.
Okay. Enjoy coming here. You never know. It's never know. Anyway, last time we talked about healing, and that was a subject we could talk for a long time about because we're all interested in it.
Yeah. I mean, the gift of healing is something that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Described in the New Testament, Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians 12, especially, and of course it's illustrated all over the place. It's one of the gifts that are given and a mark of the kingdom of God breaking into this age and giving us foretastes of the coming kingdom, which is the time when all sin will be eradicated, so all brokenness will be healed, and all diseases will be healed permanently. All death will be destroyed, and so these are foretastes, and they are available to us right now.
So were you going to say something, Pam?
Well, I'm listening to you and just I think we are aware that of the role of suffering in our lives and experiencing brokenness that we live with, but we can become a bit resigned, like that is our lot permanently. Mm-hmm. And there's a dual reality going on, that there is suffering and there is healing available, and it really happens. They're not just old stories.
Right.
They're contemporary, and they're ones to really pray for in faith for one another. And God's not embarrassed for us to pray, and if it's not answered, like he loves that we are even asking, and he delights in that, and then is happy to dispense these gifts.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, I've been memorizing Psalm 103, which every time I have a discussion on any spiritual topic, I can start to connect it to Psalm 103.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. And it says in verse 3, let me back up to 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and mm-hmm. heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. I think he will heal all of our diseases, maybe not all the ones on this earth, but all of our spiritual diseases. And when we start to pray for healing, what is the best way to go about it? I mean, I know how I want the outcome to be.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the best way to, in terms of how to understand healing, because there's a couple of ways to answer that question. One is more methodological, where we're talking, how do you go about praying for it? What's the right way to do it? The other one is just how are we to understand this gift? Because when you talk about Psalm 103 verse 3, you can come away going, well, it doesn't appear that he heals all our diseases.
It does not, does it?
No, and that's not, it's not just appearance, it's everybody's experience. He doesn't heal, meaning he doesn't heal miraculously, instantaneously, all of our diseases. He does heal so many diseases through what we would call the common grace of the way the body is designed. So I mean, we're built with a common grace of healing. So the body recovers amazingly.
It does,
from all sorts of injury and yes. disease. And we have an immunity system that actually protects us from encroaching disease all the time. We're protected by, from more than we know. And so that grace is given to us, even built right into the way God designed the body. But he doesn't instantaneously, miraculously heal all diseases. In fact, I would say that the way the Bible illustrates this gift is that miraculous gift is exceptional, not normative.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the psalmist is talking about all our diseases, I think the best way to understand that verse is he heals. You know, every time we receive healing, that's a gift from God. Whether it's a natural means that God has given us through common grace, or whether it is a supernatural means that he does miraculously, mm-hmm. all the diseases that he heals, he come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, James says. So that's how we can understand what that psalmist is talking about. He's not talking about it's not a promise where we can say, well, God promises that he's going to heal every single disease. Well, he will. He will in the age to come. In this age, he doesn't promise that every disease we will be spared from miraculously. That's exceptional. The experience of disease is normative, and so we go to him and we ask him for it, and we receive what he gives.
Because mm-hmm. Jesus mm-hmm. certainly healed some and not others.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He did, and we see that you know Paul healed a lot of people, but he himself suffered afflictions. It talks about, and we know that Epaphroditus, his beloved friend, has suffered a life-threatening illness. He doesn't talk about him being healed supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
He was worried that he was going to lose his friend, and so we see that is a common experience in the New Testament. Paul didn't always expect every disease to be healed, but he did believe that the gift of healing was present and exercised it when the Spirit gave him power.
Well, and you asked how do we go about ask how we go about praying for healing, I was just thinking back to over the years, we've had the benefit of learning from other saints who have experience praying for people. And it can feel awkward, but it's like learning from their example and their posture of dependence on God, not coming in like I'm special, but God is. God is present. I'm not, you know, God gives gifts, but it's not the person that is praying. So I think it can feel awkward and you're putting yourself out there, putting God out there, like, will he answer? I don't know. But he tells us to ask. So we will do this. And to get over the awkwardness, depend on one another to pray together. Like, let's look to the Father together. And then to come in faith. So remembering God's character. What is he like? It is his heart. His heart is for his children. He loves us. He wants to see us free from suffering. He delights to give good gifts. And then to practically just maybe to start with an interview of, you know, what are you experiencing? How long has this been going on? What it takes some discernment and, you know, what not to be too invasive with an interview that may be probing, but there may be an emotional root that needs to be addressed or some unforgiveness that's attached to an illness.
This is a big topic, and we're going to keep at it on Deep Thinker Thursday. So if you want to ask a question, I want to take a break. But when I come back, John, I want to throw this one out. At the end of Mark 1, Jesus heals a leper and then instructs this man not to tell people what happened. Ha! Why would Jesus do this? So we're going to have that in Deep Thinker Thursday. If you have a question, 877-933-2484. We'd love to hear from you. You can also text me a question if you like, or email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. John and Pam Bloom are my guests. Be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 minutes after the hour. I have John and Pam Bloom in studio. It's Deep Thinker Thursday. We're talking about healing and how to pray and what the Bible teaches about it. And let's just make sure that we're going directly to his word. The question I had for John and Pam right before break was, at the end of the first chapter of Mark, Jesus heals a leper and then instructs this man not to tell people what happened. So I'm wondering, why might Jesus do this?
Yeah, well, you know, this happens a couple different times in the Gospels where we see Jesus, he does something remarkable, miraculous like this, and he tells the person not to say anything. I think he said that once to some parents when he raised his child from the dead, or, you know, like, how are you not supposed to say anything?
Yeah,
his reasons can be different, mm-hmm. Depending on the circumstance. This one here in Mark chapter 1, there's pretty clear instructions in the law about what you should do if you are a leper and you think you are healed. You need to be inspected by the priest. So that's what Jesus is instructing him to do. He says, don't say anything. Like, don't declare your healing now. Go to the priest and have him examine you. Mm. So he's basically telling him, comply with the instructions that Moses gave here, and, you know, before you say anything. But at other times, I think sometimes he can be saying that because there's already such a pressing crowd that he doesn't, like, it's not his time yet, either to attract so much attention or to attract the attention of the rulers. You know, he's watching his time very carefully about when he is supposed to go to the cross. And so there's a number of different factors as to why Jesus at times tells people not to say anything.
Mm-hmm. I know stories are always faith builders, and maybe there would be a couple of stories that you could share.
Yeah, I'm always helped by stories. It's good to talk about things theoretically and theologically, but the question is, have we ever experienced this gift? And we've experienced it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And one, it was was an experience I had with Pam. So this was back when our oldest child, who's now 22, he was a baby. And Pam, it was a Sunday afternoon, and Pam was had come down with an intense fever. She was, it was hot. It was 103, maybe over that. And she was just miserable. And we were laying in our bed, just she's laying next to me. I'm resting, not knowing exactly what to do. And all I can say is suddenly I felt in the room a presence and power that was unusual. And I normally, you know, I feel the same ambivalence when asked to pray for people for healing, like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work and all those. Normally I feel all those things that everyone does. That moment, I knew if I prayed for her, she would be healed. Wow. And that's called, I think that's biblically, that's called the gift of faith that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 12. So I received that gift. I knew. And so I just put my hand on her. She was just laying on her stomach and she was moaning. She was so hot. I put my hand on her. I don't even remember what I said. It doesn't even matter. I just said, Lord, you know, before I got the words out, I could feel her hot back cool. I felt it. I went, whoa. And she was immediately asleep. She went from moaning to being immediately asleep. And she woke, I don't know what it was, a half hour, 45 minutes later, and she was well. So, I mean, it was one of those moments that was not, you know, kind of similar to, you know, when Jesus prayed for Peter's mother-in-law, but she had a fever. And, you know, she was healed immediately. And it was just one of those giftings. But that's an illustration of the gift of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was faith-building. Now, I have prayed for Pam at other times when she's sick, and God hasn't given the same gift.
Mm-hmm. It was a very sweet moment. Felt just an expression of God's love for me personally, that he would care to lift that fever when I was so miserable. And then it was also faith building. Like, we still talk about that. It does fill us with faith. Now, I have prayed for people. I have not experienced healing praying for them. I've witnessed other people being prayed for, but I've received prayer other times. I used to work in healthcare and had a back injury and was at an event and had someone pray for me. And it was like I had supernatural traction. Like, my back, while they were praying for me, was like stretched and adjusted. It was like this, a chiropractic adjustment. And I came out just like everything feels like I'm in alignment and is strong. But it wasn't just a physical experience. I felt this is really a moment of worship and deep communion with God. Like, I feel his deep affection for me, and like I just want to stay in this place of peace and of his intimate care for me.
And the one thing I will say too about when I prayed for Pam when she had the fever was that was in the midst of a time of deep spiritual wrestling for me too. So God was doing more than just healing her. He was giving us an encounter to minister to us on numerous levels, which is often the case. The purposes for a gift like healing are many layered. God has many purposes for why he gives that gift at a certain time.
Now that you've had that experience, John, when you do it now in the future, do you sit and wonder if God's going to show up in the same way he did that time?
Every time. Okay, so here's the thing. Every time I pray for somebody, I get those jitters. I get that's not like, oh, this is probably not going to work. And you know, and it's part of it is because, you know, it often doesn't. And part of it is because I just need to say, I'm a man often of little faith. And, but I want to keep pressing into that, pressing against that and asking for these gifts because that response, while it is part of our flesh, it's woven into our flesh. So I think we're going to tend to experience that until we die to one degree or another. It's not something that we're supposed to succumb to and merely just roll over, because that can be a form of quenching the spirit. As Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the spirit. And unbelief, we know, because the Bible is replete with this examples of how unbelief can quench the Holy Spirit.
John, when you said you're sometimes a man of little faith, how does a man of little faith, how does that manifest itself the most in your life? Where does it show up?
Fear.
Fear. Okay.
So, and what I mean by that is just that can look differently in different times. It can look in different ways. It manifests itself. So, I do a lot of writing as part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently, when I sit down to write, I have a fear it's not going to work this time, or what I write is going to be dumb, or, you know, I mean, like there's this fleshly part of me. I've written, you know, I don't know, it's between 600 and 700 articles at Desiring God over the years, and you just think like, no big deal. It's not paralyzing. It's just common. There are times when my weaknesses, I've got constitutional, temperamental weaknesses or weaknesses that I've conditioned because I've just had bad habits over the years. And I can be afraid that those are going to be exposed in a certain social situation. Or I've got a bad memory. You know, I'm really good with dates. I'm really bad with names. And so when I'm walking down the hall at church and I see somebody coming, somebody that I've known for years, and all of a sudden, boom. The name is gone, and I'm like, you know, and so that has happened to me a number of times. So I oftentimes, when I go into social situations, like I've got fear. It manifests as fear, and the temptation is to listen to that fear and respond to it by kind of obeying what it says, you know, insulating myself against exposure. So when it comes to the gift of healing, I'm going to tend to back away from it because I don't want to look like an idiot who doesn't have any spiritual power. And I don't want to embarrass God and make it look like God doesn't exist because it doesn't work. Or, you know, all those things that play on me, and I need to lean against that and press into and trust God's promises over my own perceptions at that moment.
Mm-hmm. You've done a nice job of building a little monument to God's faithfulness in that instance with Pam. Because you can go back and revisit that, and that's a sweet place, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when we did our fall share last week, station manager Dick Whitworth came in and said, "Let's go for 50 calls in an hour." And I thought, well, you know, I've seen Cool Hand Luke, you know, eating 50 eggs in an hour. That's nearly impossible. Never been done. And he goes, "Yeah, let's just trust God for it." And I said, "Okay, you know, I'd like to go. Yeah, we can. God will come through." And it. At 18 or 19 minutes after the hour, we had not received one call yet. And if you don't get, you know, 10 to 12 by 15 minutes after the hour, you're not on pace for 50. And we ended up with 51 calls that hour.
Wow.
It was crazy.
That's great.
Yeah. Let me take a break. When we come back, more with Deep Thinker Thursday, John and Pam Bloomer in studio. If you have a question or comment, I've got one here on the board. I'll try to get to that when we come back from break. 877-933-2484. I'll say that again a little slower. 877-933-2484. Be right back. Likes violin music. Keep playing that, Rebecca. There we go. Oh, that makes me happy. Joshua Bell. Yeah, I love that.
It's beautiful.
That's just gorgeous. All right, we're back to Deep Thinker Thursday. John and Pam Bloomer are in studio, and I had a caller, Vince, that said, "Are you sure that Jesus doesn't want us to suffer? Because sometimes I think he does. Also, you said that we can all pray, but there's something about someone who is anointed that can pray for me. I'd rather have Elijah pray than someone who isn't anointed." Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, if we communicated that that God doesn't want us to suffer and so he's always going to heal, that would be a real misunderstanding, or we'd be in error. That's just not true. The Bible does talk a lot about suffering, and a lot that it talks about is not the deliverance from, but the endurance in the midst of. And so you just think of the way James talks about it at the beginning of his epistle. You know, we should count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when we endure various kinds of trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's just one example of many of the sanctifying, faith-building effect. I mean, sometimes I'm going to probably slaughter this quote from memory by Spurgeon, but he says something like the only thing that does the soul better than healing is illness or suffering. Now, mm-hmm. those of you who are Spurgeon scholars out there, you're going to correct me. That's not the exact quote, but so it's a paraphrase. But he says something about that in terms of, there is great good that happens in the soul, because it exposes sin and self-sufficiency and pride and where our hope is and all sorts of things. And so God really does use suffering, but he does get, and the reason we're talking about healing is because I think that tends to be the default idea, is that well, this is just something to endure, and while that is often the case, there's this gift that is given to the church, and what we want to do is lean into it, because I think it's more available probably than we tend to experience, because if we're not leaning into it regularly and asking for it. And so I just think it's something that we should ask for.
You know, we don't know what do we know about the suffering of Jesus before the cross? We don't know much about it, do we?
No, it doesn't talk a lot about it. All what we do know, basically we know this because of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter Isaiah 53, is that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so, and that isn't just talking about the cross. It's talking about what was it like for the Son of God to live in a fallen world. So a perfect man living in a fallen world, as sensitive as he was to all the spiritual realities, it would have been a agonizing experience on many levels, I believe, for him. But the Bible does not talk about Jesus suffering illnesses or things like that. But I think that from his own spiritual standpoint, he endured a lot.
There must have been hardship. I mean, when I think of him being led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted, and I'm thinking, well, I mean, I don't like my backyard at dusk because of mosquitoes. So, I mean, what kind of environment was he in? What kind of wild animals was he up against? You talk about no food, no water, and all of a sudden you're just in the middle of nowhere. It's not like the wilderness, like the Boundary Waters, where you can, you know, I mean, have some, I mean, it's nowhere. I mean, they're on the, he's on the middle of nowhere, right?
Right. I mean, I think that's good. I mean, he subjected himself in that case. He subjected himself to that kind of suffering and the testing of his
soul. Yes, there was lots of suffering, yeah. Wasn't there?
But my guess is too, that just that he lived in an age, I mean, he wasn't spared all the, you know, he was a baby. Means he went through teething.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be an overreach to say, well, he didn't experience any pain. Right. He was given all the nerve endings that every other human being has.
Mm-hmm.
And so he experienced normal life, and he experienced what it was like to live. He was living in a lower class peasant.
Mm-hmm.
He lived a hard, rigorous life. He didn't. There was no mosquito repellents mm-hmm. at all. So, or whatever. I mean, there was lots of stuff. That just ordinary life in those days would have been so much harder than what we experienced.
But the
no air conditioning. No, I mean, you know,
the carpentry shop.
Yeah,
you gotta whack your hand once mm-hmm. in a while with a hammer.
So, I mean, he lived in this world.
Yeah,
he lived in this world, and so he endured everything that we endure likely. I mean, I'm not going to speculate on did Jesus ever have the flu or whatever like that. But I will say he lived in this world, and I think from a spiritual standpoint, he suffered far more than most of us because of the awareness that he had, spiritual awareness that he had from his earliest days.
Why are we uncomfortable talking about the humanity of Jesus? Or maybe I should just say I feel like there's a tendency to be uncomfortable about it. feel free to answer whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a there's
otherwise
so
we can go
to
break, or I can sing show tunes, or we can do all number of things.
We have a hard time because we don't fully understand what did it mean for him to be a man without sin. What does that mean? I think that's what's hard. I mean, I'm sure we've got, you know, Plato's influence, you know, the Greek philosophy and the dichotomy between spirit being good, flesh being bad, all that kind of stuff. You know, that would have been that's part of the kind of woven into our. But I just think what did it mean for him? What did that mean for him? And because we only know what it's like to be sinners, and so that's one very very brief inadequate way of responding.
I like it. I also want to remind people that if you are in a place where healing is on your heart and you have a need for it, you've got a deep concern, and the Holy Spirit is prompting you to call, we will pray for you right now. So let us know, 877-933-2484. If you also have a prayer concern, you can also put that in a text message if you like, and that's the same number, 877-933-2484. And you can also email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, bill@myfaithradio.com.
Should we answer the second part of that question, which was what about somebody who's actually anointed
for
healing?
Absolutely, yes.
Because I think that's a good point. How should we think about people? Do people carry around kind of a permanent resident anointing for healing, or is it a gift that's given sporadically and to anybody? And the way I would answer that is other than Jesus. It's unclear. I mean, the apostles, the original authoritative apostles that Jesus appeared to and personally chose, other than those folks who seem to operate in those giftings regularly and very, very extraordinarily powerfully, I don't think it's resident. I don't think the Bible describes that. It talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts individually as he wills. That's how it's talked about. And so I think we receive gifts of healings. But I will say that there are people who are more regularly and more confidently exercise that gifting, and I think the level of their faith is higher, and so they tend to be more effective. And I would agree with them. Like people who are moving in that, that would be my first choice. But that's not how the Bible instructs us about how to pursue healing.
Mm-hmm. I've got a caller on the line. She prefers to remain anonymous. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Deep Thinker Thursday. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
You have a...
I have a two... Can you hear me?
Oh, I can indeed.
Okay. I have two questions. The first question is, and you guys are talking about faith, and I just lost my sister in April to breast
mm-hmm.
cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And in this situation, I felt the anointing of God on me to pray for her, to watch her to be healed of stage 4 breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and she passed away because first she had beat it and then it came back. And then I prayed again. So, but this time, God didn't remove the cancer. And I mean, it was like a strong anointing on me to see her heal. And we were did communion and was reading all these healing scriptures to her and telling her that, you know, disease is a curse and Christ nailed the curses to the tree and she's delivered. I believed God all the way up even to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't raise her. So it kind of stagnated my faith because I've seen God heal people of cancer. Now, even dealing with my own self, being saved since 91 and being celibate and a woman of God, now I have a chronic disease within my own body that I'm saying, God, where did this come from? Because my immune system broke down and it's not HIV or anything like that. But it's a chronic disease, and saying that and you'll never be healed. And I know that one day when I get married, that ministering to one another in the power of God and love, I'm now sitting here going, God, heal my body. So now I'm a little confused.
Hmm. Well, the first part of your question is you experienced what you called an anointing for praying for your sister, and she was not healed. I think I've experienced similar things, and that makes me less confident in what I sense as the anointing. Now, I did describe in my own experience with Pam that there was a gift of faith, which in my experience has been extraordinarily rare, that I had that level of confidence. But I've had other times when I felt what I would say is like I felt faith for this, and prayed and didn't see it. So I'm less confident in the subjective experience of I think I've got faith, I've worked up faith, or I've got a sense of confidence, and I believe. I'm less confident of that, and more confident in the promises of God. And because God doesn't promise healing in every situation, therefore, I've got to ground my confidence in what He says, as opposed to what I sense in my own self, because that sensor in me can be unreliable. And so that I'm just speaking from my own experience. And so that's one way I would say it could, you know, if the gift had been there, then your sister would have been healed. But I don't think you should feel that you somehow failed or that God somehow failed. That gift wasn't apparently available at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful call. I appreciate very much. Another caller is on the line from Bob from New York. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing good.
Good, good. So I'm just traveling over here, and my buddy told me to give you guys a call. I was in the Connecticut area, and I crossed the line over here. So I need a little prayer request, if you don't mind.
We'd be delighted.
All right. The situation is I'm one of those typical males that keeps messing up in my marriage. Basically, I say fibs that I'm not supposed to. I have a very demanding wife, and it's very hard to keep up with her standards. I'm doing the best that I can, but sometimes it's like my best isn't good enough. So God has healed our marriage plenty of times, but it never heals to 100%. And we got a couple beautiful boys, and I just don't want this to lead to a divorce.
All right. I think Pam will pray for you.
Remind me your name, please.
Bob.
Bob.
Yeah.
Bob. I'm just going to go to the Father with you and intercede for you, and the listeners will join us. So, God, there is, you are aware of Bob's backstory in his marriage, and we thank you for how you have rescued them from disaster in the past. And it's not a mistake that his friend called and that he's asking for prayer. You are a merciful God who knows, and you are a rescuing God. So would you work in the life of Bob and his wife, soften their hearts, bring a ministry of reconciliation that you have already called them to. And I pray that it would be a time of not only intimacy with each other, but with you, so that it's not just a love story between humans, but it is one that gives you glory, that shows what you are like, that in their vulnerability, you are the God who brings healing. So we believe and pray for healing in this marriage, and that it would affect future generations for their boys to watch and witness what true love is like, and that they will want that, and in future generations there will be strong, healthy marriages in Jesus.
Exactly. I want the boys to see what love is too. I don't want the boys to see bickering and arguing.
Right. Bob, thank you so much for calling. We will continue to pray for you and your wife and family. Thank you so much. We need to take a very short break. When we come back, more with John and Pam Bloom, Deep Thinker Thursday. Be back in a minute. Thank you. Welcome back to Deep Thinker Thursday. I have John and Pam Bloom in studio. John, as you know, is a co-founder of Desiring God, and you can always go read any of his articles that he's written, almost over 600, at desiringgod.org. John, you made a comment during the break that I think is worth repeating.
Yeah, so one of the things, we're not given a whole lot of coaching in the New Testament about how to pray for healing and who ought to do it, but one of the clearest things that is said is by the Apostle James in James chapter 5, where he instructs that if you're sick, go to the elders, and the elders will anoint you with oil and pray for you. And often the gift of healing is released in that context. It doesn't mean to be exclusive. It's not the only thing. But if you're an elder, that is part of your call. And especially if you're dealing with something as complex as a marital issue, like the last caller has, I would say in that context is the best place to seek healing, because you're dealing with people who have some visibility on your life.
Mm-hmm. We've got Kendra calling in from Superior. Hello, Kendra. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Of course.
I have really enjoyed your program both times I've listened to it.
Mm. So glad. You have a comment or a question for the Blooms?
Yes, I have a story. So on Tuesday, I suffered a miscarriage.
Oh.
And of course we prayed, and there was, you know, the baby. We lost our baby. But then, so on Wednesday, I went to God, and I was praying and asking him. I had given the child to him the moment I found out I was pregnant, even before then. And so I wasn't angry, but I did ask God for some answers. I said, God, I just want to understand this. And I prayed, and then I went to my Bible reading for the day. And I was in Psalm 73, and Psalm 73 has, I almost skipped it, honestly, because it's a psalm about, you know, when the enemy gets away with things, you know, when bad people get away with things, and I thought, this is not going to speak to me right now, but I read it anyway, because I'm compulsive like that, and I have to read in order, and I came to verse 16, and it just jumped out at me. It says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Yeah.
And that just, I just thought maybe somebody else needs that right now too. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. When we look at God, we don't always understand what's going on, but when we look at God, He just makes it all right.
Beautiful. Mm. Pam, would you just pray? We experienced a couple of miscarriages in our lives, and so I'm, Pam, would you just pray for her?
Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you for how you directed Kendra in her moment of questions to the answer in Scripture.
Yeah.
That you brought her to the sanctuary in her grief. And thank you that you are the answer to all our questions. To people who can't call and get their question answered, they have you. We all have you to come to. And would you open your word and reveal where you want to answer our questions and show you are our answer, you are our comfort. And we want to join and pray for Kendra. Would you bring healing to her body, to her womb, and at the right time, would you gift her with children? I sympathize with her in my loss. And when my faith was low, and God, you brought a woman into my life to pray for me, and you did bring healing and brought us children. And I pray that for every woman who's listening who has experienced miscarriages, where you want to speak life and bring children, would you gift Kendra and continue to answer her questions in to her physical children or people that look to her as a spiritual mother. Would you loosen her tongue to witness to your power to heal and love and bring life? In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Kendra, for calling, and God bless you in your days ahead.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kendra.
I have another caller on the line, Dee from St. Paul. Hello, Dee. Thank you for waiting.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Dee.
Hello.
Hi there. You have a something to share.
Yes, I do. We are strong faith believers in, well, parts of my family, my youngest son and I being the strongest. The courage very quickly threefold because they're all related. I just came from the doctor hours ago. Earlier this year, they had found a fibroid in my uterus. I was supposed to address it. I have a 27-year-old son addicted to meth. Because of all the things with him, of course, that has taken full-time care. I did not take care of myself. So the beginning of the year to now, I just came back. I'm waiting for an ultrasound. They said if it went one way, I have to have a hysterectomy. If it went the other way, it's just a simple procedure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm praying, of course, that it's the simple procedure. I'm just 21. I don't need to lose my parts yet. My son is still out there. We don't know hour to hour where he is. And it's this mess that has been keeping me from my care as well. But now the third part, also there are three other siblings. So I have four children. This is the baby. Because of this meth problem, the entire siblings are all estranged, including from me, because they think I need to leave him. All that has caused all of this sickness. I've been in the hospital multiple times with mental breakdowns, as is he, and there does not seem to be any help for him in the medical world. So that is the prayer that this fibroid went the right way, not the other way.
Yes.
My son is still out there. I have seen evidence of demonic possession in him. And after we are cleansed to reunite the rest of the family.
Yes. Let us pray for you.
Because no one is speaking because of.
Yeah.
That's all.
Oh, Dee, let's pray for you quickly here. Oh, God, this experience is overwhelming. And who's adequate for it? We don't need to make up for it with lots of words. You are powerful. You see every aspect of this situation. So we pray for healing for this fibroid situation. God, grant Dee healing in her body. And grant deliverance for her son. And grant just reconciliation there. Grant a whole new season for her family. And grant her the grace to endure patiently as she has things happen that she doesn't even fully understand. And so grant mercy on Dee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, Dee. We'll be thinking and praying for you. You know, John, we're running out of time. We just have a couple minutes left. A lovely caller, Judy, called from St. Anthony, and she wanted to encourage, she lost her sister too in December to cancer, and she wanted to offer encouragement to the anonymous caller who had lost her sister. So thank you. We unfortunately don't have time to bring her on the show.
Yeah.
But thank you very much. And another caller had said, I had a couple of dreams. I had dreams where God's power in me, I was healing other people. When I wake up from my dreams, I don't know what that means or what to do with it. What do you think it means? Can you answer that in 20 seconds?
Probably not.
Okay,
I think I would need to talk to that person to find out, because sometimes dreams are prophetic and sometimes they're not.
Yeah. It's just been a wonderful Deep Thinker Thursday. It's always a pleasure to have the Blooms in studio. And John, have you written anything that we should go to see at desiringgod.org? Anything fresh?
Well, there's an older article, actually, Why We Should Pray for Healing is the name of the article. And so that for this topic, that's where I would send people
to go. Yeah. And my prayers are with you. I know you've got a son leaving town. They're moving to Kentucky tonight.
Yeah,
daughter,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And their grandchild's going with.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're going to be praying for you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry I didn't get to all the calls today, but I would have loved to have talked to everyone. As you know, you all matter. God loves you. I love you. Thank you for listening. Have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.